welcome to the Transposed Podcast. I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura. Joining me, as always, is the equally fabulous Miss Stephanie Bree.
Hey, everybody.
How are you, Steph?
I am absolutely amazing. I had a great weekend. How about yourself?
My weekend was great. I would love to talk about my weekend on our podcast here, but we are still trying to be safe for work, and yeah, that's not me.
Yeah, that's not going to fly for me either. We're going to have to get over that.
Yes,
I'll try to be tame as much as I can. But
our viewers or our listeners are really going to want to hear what transpired this weekend for me, sweetheart.
All right, well, we'll keep it PG-13 at the very least.
For now, you know, I'll get out of pocket soon. Awesome. We got plenty of topics for me to get out of pocket later anyway. So,
yeah.
For those of you joining us for the first time, welcome, we're glad to have you. If you are joining us for the second episode and you listened to the first, welcome back. I'm sure you are thinking the same thing that you thought of when Attack of the Clones came out, and that's, dear God, please let this be better than episode one. I know that's how I felt this morning.
Well, as the resident prequel fan, I will tell you that we will definitely be better than episode two was. For our audience, anyways.
Yes, and for those keeping score at home, that was a direct shot from me to Miss Stephanie's movie choices.
Yeah, she hasn't accepted the fact that I got better taste than her.
Sweetie, everybody's got better taste than me.
Yeah. All right.
Oh,
so.
goodness. I know we're digressing a wee bit here.
So, since we started this last week, can you kind of sum up, you know, how did you feel about our first episode, and what has, you know, without getting into the dirty stuff that you don't want to talk about, what have you had happen in your week since then? What's new in your life?
Oh, well, let's see. I think, you know, we'll start with the whole how did I feel about the first episode. I think I felt the same way that most people who do what we do. You know, you think about it, and you just hope it's not a train wreck and a dumpster fire all wrapped up in one. And I was honestly very happy with it. I mean, there were a few things I would change. To those listening, you might notice little tweaks here and there as we get going, maybe some format issue changes. We're trying to find our footing. And I don't know about you, Stephanie, but I got big feet.
Well, to that I will say that as a fan of model trains, I prefer a train wreck over a dumpster fire.
Oh,
I don't know if we need
dumpster
both.
Dumpster fires are my life. but you know what? It's been a great week. You know, there's been some really cool things. Not just for myself, but as far as like some, we had some history made. We had history made last week.
Yep.
And we're definitely going to dive a lot more into this, hopefully later this episode, with the inauguration.
She keeps saying that. I'm not on board, but I'm just kidding.
I promise I won't get political and tell people they're stupid. You know, but I mean, it was just overall a really good week, a really good time. Those of you who are listening, if you found us through Podbean, great, awesome. We are also now on Spotify and Google Podcasts. Right, Stephanie?
Yeah, been working hard behind the scenes to get this show going. And for me, I had some hiccups over the last week. I talked about them on my podcast, my other podcast, which, you know, I won't plug here, but I'll just tell you it's out there.
And, oh, I will. It's the Spider's Lair.
But I will say podcast. That I nearly, and I spent more money than I oughta, but I nearly completed my Care Bear collection, because they finally had all of them over there at the Walmart this week. All but one.
I love Care Bears. Oh my God.
I've been hunting.
That's actually going to, it's funny you mentioned that, because that's going to tie into a couple of other topics we've got
yes,
later.
Absolutely. I hope so. I love talking about Care Bears. I'm going to bring them up. Maybe not every episode, but who knows? Maybe this will be our you know, pineapple from Psych, where they mention it every episode. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, good. Glad to hear you had a good week as well. Why don't you tell everybody what topics we got on the list for this week's show?
Sure. As Robin has already mentioned, we are going to talk a little bit about the big thing that happened last week. We might share some thoughts or feelings, and we're going to try to avoid the heavy-duty stuff, but we'll keep it light and fluffy as much as we can. We are also, as promised, we told y'all last week we were going to tell you what the word queer means to us. That's the, you know, the hook we used to get you here, so hopefully it's good, tasty bait before you get a hook in your mouth. We're also talking about some of our milestones as in our transitioning. Some of the things that we have accomplished, some of the things that we were afraid of or maybe hesitant, perhaps, and also what maybe comes next for each of us. Things that we're excited for, I guess.
Yeah.
Or what was most difficult. I don't know. We'll see how it develops. We're also talking about toys from our childhood, but we're going to tie that into how that shaped our understanding of gender, because I know mine in particular very much played a role in me wanting to be trans or finding out I was trans. And we're probably going to talk about, you know, maybe we're going to talk about romance and things of that nature, but I won't spoil it. And we also probably have a top five, because we will probably have one of those every week. And I'm saying probably as in the most definitely, but we are going to talk about stuff. And, you know, we'll see where things go from there. And as always, you're going to get the raw us. So it's probably, you might get some surprises.
I think the raw me, AJ, would have a problem with anybody else getting.
Uh-oh.
All right, sorry, everybody. Out of pocket. Oh, God, that didn't last long. All right, so let's jump in. Let's jump in here to our, I guess, the biggest, heaviest topic here is what does the word queer mean to me? And this is a topic that is, it's definitely massive. And it doesn't just relate to the transgender community. It does relate to the LGBTQ community as a whole, which, yes, the trans community is kind of part of that. So, you know, I had to think about this one, and what does it mean to me? And when I started thinking about it, the first thing I had to do was look it up. What is the base? We all understand what the derogatory versions mean, right? So I had to look up the definition, because that word has been around way longer than most people realize. It's not just a slang derogatory word. Its definition, the word queer by definition means something that's odd, different, or strange. Two of those definitions I don't solely agree with, that being the odd or the strange. Now, to me, in relation to the LGBT community, the definition of different is somewhat correct. I mean, at least when you base things on what is considered the air quotes here, folks, the quote-unquote norm, which I'm going to kind of define here a little bit. When I say norm, I mean it's what is considered acceptable just based on the past social definition. I'm not saying that because the transgender and the LGBTQ community, we don't fall normally into that, that it's a means that it's wrong or it's not, or it's bad or anything like that. I'm just saying there is a social normal that is, I will say, completely outdated, but it still exists. So in that term, to me, we are different. We do that. We do fit that difference. You know, we are most certainly a minority. Okay, we're a minority, not just within society, socially as a whole, but we are a minority also, though we're a pretty good sized minority, in the LGBT. Okay, we're not as small a group as, say, pansexuals or gender fluid, or at least as we understand it now. I want everybody to understand that. That's what I'm meaning when I'm saying these things. This is based on what we understand and know at this moment, right? It's not what we will know 50 years from now or even 5 years from now.
And adding to that, I was going to say, really, we're a minority within a minority only so far as how we're currently counted. Because, you know, we do know that they're undergoing their census in Britain right now, and we just got through ours. There are questions that don't apply to us that do apply to us, but they don't get asked. So that's another reason we're not counted correctly.
I totally agree. And I think as far as the trans community, something that kind of gives me hope about, you know, this particular word is the fact that, yeah, we are a minority within a minority, and it's still different. I know sometimes when I go out, you know, my makeup, my clothing, everything, I still get looks, like, and I don't mean like, hey, how you doing? I mean looks like, the hell is wrong with you kind of looks. In fact, I had that happen twice this weekend when I was out. One made me laugh my ass off. The other one was just, well, you know what? I don't give a shit. But I do think that, the trans community, we can kind of be hopeful about being different, and that our differences will get put back into the quote unquote norm. Because look at gay and lesbian communities. They are definitely becoming less and less different. We're seeing them being mixed into pop culture. I mean, we see them in now TV shows. We see them in commercials. We hear about them on radio. We see internet ads. We just see that social definition. For them, they are becoming more and more accepted and not considered different. They're just considered, you know, human being. And I think for us, for the trans community, that is a way that we are heading. Okay? We're still kind of outside of that, but I think we're seeing that really start to change. I mean, and examples of this are, we're seeing actors and actresses more commonly coming out as transgender. You know, Elliot Page, Nicole Maines, Laverne Cox. I mean, these are people that are transgender. They're proud of it, and we're seeing that it's okay, and they're accepted, and starting to feel that we are less different, you know? I mean, one individual I kind of want to point out, and some of my friends and family are going to go, this was only a matter of time, but I want to point out an individual named Nyla Rose, and Nyla Rose is a transgender professional wrestler. And this is like a big deal because here is a macho guys kind of thing, or at least it used to be. Now that's all changing, but that's a topic for another day. And here she is as a big TV star, clearly, who is proud of being transgender, does not hide it. And you didn't see that in other companies. It would have just been kind of pushed off to the side. So I feel like there is a, in all aspects of popular culture, it's moving for us, the trans community, that the word queer and its main definition of being different, it is slowly going away, and we are reclaiming it. And as far as, like, the negative aspects of it, you know, one, I've never got called that, which, you know, if you decide you're going to call me that, just be ready. AJ's going to punch you in the face. Just fair warning. But I think that the whole derogatory and negative definition of the word, I mean, let's be real here. It is beyond outdated, especially with what we know now. Even though we don't know a whole, we still have a long ways to go. But what we know now about gender identities, sexuality, and attractions. So I think we are on our way to, I don't know that reclaiming it is the right way to put it, but we are seeing that, one, the old world definition, the LGBTQ community as a whole and the transgender community, we're slowly moving away from that. Like all words, it will change definition as we go, you know, around the universe. But I do think there is examples of reclaiming it and being proud. Things like the show Queer Eye for a Straight Guy. You know, I think that they weren't saying, you know, the derogatory parts of it. They were just saying, I'm proud of that. I'm proud I'm considered different. Are they still considered different now? Not so much. They just are part of the fabric of humanity.
I think for me, the word has so many layers, and you, what you touched on is absolutely, absolutely true. Its original definition, I think, is very much outdated. In terms of us being, I would prefer the word outcast or outsiders rather than just outside the norm, because, you know, we're talking about the binary norm, the hetero norm, and, you know, within the trans community, you know, there is no normal. It's whatever works for you, as essentially. But for me, like, my experience with the word queer, I was born in 82, and so I grew up in the 90s when the greater transgender or LGBT community was really just getting to be visible in society. And for me, I remember my first time hearing the word wasn't even in a derogatory fashion. I mean, I may have heard it on TV and not known what it meant, because I was a kid, didn't know what it meant. But the first time I heard it and really understood it as a word that defined me was when I was listening to the song Queer by Garbage, which instantly became my favorite band for a very long time, still one of my favorite bands. Because I could definitely relate that I knew it meant different, but it didn't necessarily mean gay, but I knew it did mean non-straight. So queer, what Robin was just talking about, queer is also, I mean, it's used as a slur, but it's also used within the LGBT community, not just in the reclamation aspect, but there is a specific sexuality. There are people who identify as queer, just like there's genderqueer. That's a specific gender expression, just like there's pansexual, asexual, and all these other ones. Not everything is as cut and dry as you're either gay or straight. Or even bi, which is, a lot of people are having a hard time accepting bisexual, which it's like, I think, you know, if everybody's being honest with themselves, we might all be a little bi in some respects. You know?
Some of us more than others.
I mean, look at, just use this as an example. I mean, it's not necessarily sexuality, but sexuality and human intimacy. Have you ever seen the movie Castaway? Tom Hanks had a very intimate relationship, and it wasn't sexual at all, with a fucking ball. Okay? So humans need that connection, even if we're having a connection with something that's not real. So I think that we, for me, I'm all for not just reclaiming the word, but I'm also, I'm more of an advocate, if you will, for using the word in a more inclusive rather than exclusive way. But I do understand that we don't want to leave queer people out. That's why I don't like saying, I mean, when I say trans community, we're specifically talking about transgender, which includes male to female, female to male, but it, and to me, it also includes non-binary, gender fluid, and gender queer people as well. That's transgender, which the broader term for me is anyone whose internal gender does not match their external gender traits, essentially, is what it comes down to. So gender fluid, that definitely qualifies. It doesn't necessarily mean the reverse of what you're born with, which is what a lot of people think trans means. A lot of people hear the word trans and they think, oh, it just means that you're the opposite. I first encountered this recently when I was hanging out with some of my girl coworkers, and they were watching a show, and I was talking about the girl, and I said, yeah, she's like really hot, and they're like, oh, I thought you were gay, and I was like, no, I am, but I'm trans. I like girls, and they were like flabbergasted because they didn't understand why I kept calling myself a lesbian. So I was like,
well, yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, that's a. Something that we're going to dive into a little deeper in another episode.
Oh, for sure.
Is like gender identity and its relationship to sexuality. But yeah, you're absolutely right that all of those, we're all just really connected. And I do think, yeah, we are a big community. You know, yeah, we do. You and I focus a little bit more on the trans community, but yeah, I do think that the word queer, it can really encompass all of us.
And another example I like to point out real quick before we move on, because I think we've pretty much made our point, but one more example I want to get into is everybody's familiar with the X-Men films, and they're rooted in a comic book, which, you know, has its origins in the civil rights movement in the 1960s. When Bryan Singer, who is a homosexual, by the way, he's a gay man, he was making those films in the early 2000s. He made it a point to include imagery and scenes that would directly parallel the homosexual allegory of being something that's not normal necessarily by society standards, in this case mutants, but also being accepted for what they were. And there was a scene in X-Men 2 where one of the mutants is outed against his will to his parents, and he's trying to explain to them what it means to be a mutant. And the mom says the very famous line that every person in our community has heard, "Have you tried not being a mutant?" So I think what that demonstrates is, for me, we society is might not be fully understanding of us, but I think they are a lot more accepting insofar as they don't like things they don't understand, but as they understand us more, we do get to be accepted more. And I think that's part of what I want with this podcast, is to just spread understanding so that there's less misinformation, and then there is more inclusiveness, because then people can say, oh, I didn't know that. Because if all you're hearing are the talking points coming out of this guy's mouth or that guy's mouth, you're just going to tune it out, because the talking points skip over the actual truth.
That's very true. That is definitely true. And of course, Stephanie, I mean, you're hitting some pretty heavy subjects there, but at the same time, we're definitely going to be diving into a lot of those in a lot more detail and a lot more thought as the shows progress. But I think we've gotten the idea that that's what the word queer means to us.
So for those that are sitting at home that don't know, and I want to put the, I probably should have mentioned this. One of the reasons why I chose this topic is because when I was in college, I'm a word nerd. You might not know this, but I actually studied linguistics when I was in college. And so I am fascinated by not just the definitions of words and the layers and nuances, but etymology and the evolution of words as well. So I'm hoping we can have more topics like this because I can maybe put some of that college education to work.
And for those keeping score, that is Stephanie throwing her college education in my face. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, well, you're attacking my Star Wars. I have to level the playing field.
Oh, I attack Star Wars. She tells me I'm dumb. Oh, I but now wish we know I could say it Star wasn't Wars. True, but most of the time I'm dumb as a post.
Oh, no, I'm just trying to give people a little bit of, you know, I'm not just coming at this as without any credentials. I know kind of what I'm talking about, but I might talk out of my ass.
Oh, I totally am. I totally am talking out of my ass. I have no idea what the hell is going on around me most of the time. All right. Oh, that got off the rails pretty quick, didn't it? All right. Well, I mean, let's move on to our next topic. This one is something that, for those of you listening, allies... people who are not transgender, you may not be able to really relate to this. Hopefully this kind of gives you a little bit of insight. But we're going to talk about a transition specific topic now, and it's milestones. And, the things we're going to talk about here is what milestones that Stephanie and I have reached that we are proudest that we reached.
And this is your headphone warning. I'll try to give you a headphone warning whenever I know that there's going to be, we may get off the rails.
Oh, yeah, this, well.
We'll keep it clean, but I can't guarantee it's going to be work safe.
Okay, I mean, I'm behaving, I promise.
I won't.
You heard it here, folks. Stephanie's not going to behave. What we're proudest of, what milestone was difficult for us to reach? And by that, I mean, we know we have to hit it, but what was hardest, something that was really hard for us to take that step and hit that milestone? And then, of course, the last thing in this topic is about what milestone, we still have to take, that's still coming towards us, that we're really excited about. So, Stephanie, why don't you start us off and tell us about, your milestones here?
Sure. So I'll just kind of hit the bullet points. So the easiest ones for me that I've already hit, coming out was easy enough in the sense that, you know, as it is necessary to get the ball rolling, it was the first step. And I took my time because I came out to people I was comfortable with and I could confide in. And it was slow, but it was the easiest step for me. Because once I got to a point where I was sufficiently out and I could no longer hide, that's when things got real. Some of the milestones that I had a harder time, but once I got through it, they weren't as scary, was like getting my ears pierced. I don't like going to the doctor. I hate needles. I am so irrationally afraid of needles because every time I go to the doctor, I tense up and I close my eyes and I'm like, please get it over with. And they're like, we're done. And I'm like, but I didn't feel anything. And like, you never do. So for me,
well,
once I got
my needle phobic individual myself, I totally understand that.
But then once I got my ears pierced, it was like euphoric. And it was the first time I ever legitimately felt gender euphoria, which we all talk about gender dysphoria, but that was the first, I walked out of there, I took a selfie, like, I couldn't stop smiling. I'm driving in my car, probably about to drive off a bridge, because I'm like, I gotta capture this smile now before it fades. And, you know, don't text and, or don't Instagram and drive, by the way.
Yeah, no texting, no Instagramming, no Snapchatting, no any of that while you're driving. Please be safe. We want you to be back for episode 3. I promise it will be even better.
But the scarier ones, like the actual ones I was the most afraid of, going in for laser surgery was scary because I'm going in, I look like a dude. I'm, because you can't shave that morning. So I'm going in full on. I haven't shaved. You know, I mean, you can shave, but you can't like be clean. They have to have, because the laser can't work if there's no hair there. So you know, you got to have some stubble. So I'm going in there and I'm like, oh my god, I look like a guy, but I don't want to look like a guy, and that's why I'm coming here. The biggest one though, the absolute most terrifying thing I've had to do so far, was going into the ladies' room. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've only done it 3 times in public. Once, the first time in public, and I'm not counting at work. Work was different because work doesn't count as public. Work is fairly private, and it was mostly, I was mostly safe at work, I would say. But anyways, the first time I went in public, I was getting my fingerprints so that I could, you know, take the next milestone, which I'm still in the process of, which is getting my name and gender changed. A gender marker changed. So I was at the police station, and it took me forever to find a police station that would fingerprint me because of the thing that whose name we don't speak. And I was at the police station, and I had to pee so bad. I was like, I'm not going to leave the police station because I'm finally here, and they've got a limited window. So I just went into the ladies' room. I had no choice. So I went in, I peed, and I got out, and I was like, you know what? That's it. If I have to go, I'm going to go. The next time I went, it was at a gas station, and it was like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody around. I'm like, okay, sneak in, do my business, get the hell out. That wasn't so hard, but it was still exhilarating in the sense that I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, get in, get out, get out, get out, and don't get seen. The third time, I walked into a Walmart, and this was the first time I went into a crowded, occupied ladies' room where I wasn't by myself and there wasn't an empty building, and I'm just like, okay, no one's going to notice. Now, I'm full drag at this point. I'm saying drag as in, you know, I look like a girl at this point. I'm in dress, makeup, hair, everything. So, presumably, you shouldn't have been able to tell I wasn't a girl. So, I should have just looked like I belonged there. But, you know, us trans women, we kind of always have that, like, fear of if we're passing or not. I just went in, got out, washed my hands, went back to shopping, and no one even said a thing. No one even noticed. That was the most terrifying 30 seconds of my life. And that might have been a tell, because I don't know, I don't sit around and time women, but I know guys can pee pretty quick. And so I got in, got out, and I was just like, okay, I hope nobody's sitting around counting the seconds. What's next for me, the next big one for me, I think, once I get my name changed and my gender marker, I'm already growing my hair out. And I'm going this afternoon with a coworker of mine, which will have been yesterday by the time you hear this. But, you know, I love the, you know, podcast time travel. It's so much fun. And I think for me, the next big thing, I mean, is just getting my, you know, getting my driver's license, my birth certificate, getting all my paperwork done so that then, you know, if somebody does misgender me, I can show them my driver's license and be like, there, right there, it says Stephanie, bitch. Now you can kindly fuck off.
Because, you know, we just love to tell people to go fuck themselves.
Yeah. Now, down the road, further down the road, when I have money, you know, once my tits are done growing, I plan on having surgery, top surgery, we'll call it, augmentation, if you will, if I don't get a satisfying result. That's a maybe. I'm not saying a definitive, but that's something I am contemplating.
That can be a very scary one, because, I mean, you know, another topic for another day is going to be, you know, how things like that can affect how we see ourselves. Mm-hmm. But yeah, surgery is always a scary thing. And you don't just go into it lightly.
Because in the female to male trans community, that means something else.
Right.
So
for the male to female community, it's an augmentation is what it is.
Yes.
You know.
And I'm not 100% that'll happen. That's on my agenda. It's on my sheet of things to investigate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, for me, I think the kind of like you, the milestone I'm the most proud of is simply telling the world, hey, I'm transgender. That's who I am. If you don't like it, go take a long walk off a short cliff. It was definitely probably the most liberating. Now, we're not going to get all into the exact stories of what happened.
Not yet.
But unlike you, Stephanie, the milestone for me was not the first. It really was more of, it's a more recent milestone. It took me 4 years to get to the ability to be able to say that out loud. And I had to take that step because getting down to the point now where there's fewer and fewer milestones to take, at least large ones. You know, there are still some big, big milestones coming up, but they're not as big as that. I think for anybody in the LGBTQ community, that is probably the biggest step you can take in any way. You know, I have a few other transgender friends from all over the country and all over the world, actually. And theirs is a lot like yours, Stephanie. Their biggest first step is to tell the world that's who they are. Whereas for me, that wasn't the first step. And it was playing pretend for a long time for me. For, like I said, 4 years. 4 years before I even told the world. Some people were surprised. Some people weren't. I know a lot of people. There's probably a few of them listening who understand. I enjoy what I call a light bulb moment. And that's when you talk to somebody and you look them in the eye and you tell them something and you see, figuratively, not literally, a light bulb suddenly turn on above their head. Like everything you're telling them suddenly makes sense. And I just love that because of people's expressions, you know. But that's, you know, that's something that is definitely my biggest and the most proud milestone. And I think it's the proudest for me because it took me so long. You know, I mean, we're gonna get technical about it. It took me less time to get on hormone replacement therapy than to tell the world. So, you know, like a lot of transgender people, I kind of did it backwards. You know, I did a lot of the transition stuff and then told people I was trans instead of telling people I was trans and then doing the actual transition stuff. Which, if that's what works for somebody listening, go ahead, go for it, do it. I know I started finding that it got harder and harder to hide things. For me, the most difficult one was just actually going out. And when I say that, I mean going out to the store, to the gas station, you know, going out with AJ to a restaurant, you know. That's another topic, is how the pandemic was actually really kind of good for me to do, to get used to that, but that's another topic for another time. But getting into my comfortable clothes, and by that I mean my girly clothes, or as I used to call it, going out in girl mode. Now it's just me 24/7. Yes. I used to have two modes, and Stephanie, I'm sure you can kind of relate, and I know there are other people, because I've talked to other people who can relate, where you have, especially male to female transgender, we have a dude mode and a girl mode, and we sometimes have to put on dude mode for those around us, and then, you know, when no one's around, then you switch it up into girl mode. So for me to go out like that and make that my normal, and I'm talking the eyeshadow, makeup, the whole nine yards. That was probably the most difficult. It still gives me trouble because I still have some somewhat masculine features. So if I don't do certain things before I go out, it's kind of obvious I was born a guy, you know? So that's really been the hardest for me. Honestly, now, the one that I'm looking the most forward to, this was something I had to think about because I don't have a lot of major milestones left. Everything else can be considered kind of a smaller milestone, but there are some, and I've already passed a whole lot, a lot faster than I thought I would. But one of them is getting rid of one of the features that clearly points me out as born a guy, and that's getting my hair back. I have a fairly noticeable, oh my god, it is totally noticeable, bald spot on the front of my head. You know, I had a receding hairline. If I had looked good with a shaved head, I probably should have shaved it, but I don't look good like that. So it is just one of those glaring things because of the pattern of it. I'm not saying women don't go bald, but the way I was going bald clearly was male. Thanks to the HRT, I've already started seeing a change in that and things growing back. You know, so when I go out, I'm not a massive fan of wigs. I'm not. They're heavy. They're itchy. They make you sweat. I'm not a fan. You know, I've tried it. Not cool. So I usually hide it under a hat. And my hat is probably the saddest looking hat in the history of hats. But it hides the bald spot. And that's something that I'm really excited about as far as a milestone, because getting that hair back means I get to partake in another women's tradition. And I guess there are still guys who do this too. But as we say, you know, go and get your hair done. That I'm just so excited about, you know. And I think I'm excited on that level, not just from a transgender male to female thing, but I hate looking bald. I mean, my hair, those who are listening who know me know I hated that. And I mean with a passion. You know, that was just my thing. But I think that's the thing that I'm the most excited about is being able to have that one social interaction of going to the hair salon, you know, and getting your hair styled and everything for the first time professionally. You know, I'm sure between now and then, I've got several friends in the photography field that are really good with the hair and makeup, and they're going to do their best to help me look the way I want to look. But, you know, a true cosmetologist is going to be the one that really is going to make that reality for me. So I think that's the one I am the most excited about. So, all right.
When it comes to hair, real quick, I just want to say, like, I was starting to go bald, but it not nearly as obvious as you were. I'll say, but before I started transitioning, when I was still pretending, when I was still going out in guy mode, my hair is naturally curly. It just is. I could wake up and not comb my hair, and as long as I run my fingers through it, I'm fine. Which I guess now have figured out that's actually a good thing. It's kind of a blessing. But when I was trying to be, like, trying to look like a straight, you know, cisgendered heteronorm dude, it sucked because it was like, ugh, I gotta, like, keep it real short and real neat, and then I gotta have a real fine comb, and I hated that. I put more effort into maintaining my hair when I was still pretending to be a guy than I have as a girl, because now it's just growing long, and it's like I got curls everywhere, and everyone's like, oh, I love your curls, and I'm like, cool, I just woke up. So,
wow, I wish I had that, where I just woke up and went, hey, look, my hair looks awesome. My hair looks gone.
But the only reason why I'm also with you on the whole wig thing, the only reason why I'm wig shopping, for those of you that aren't in the know, I'm actually a journalist by profession. I write freelance, and I also do, I've done some newspaper stuff, but I'm currently in the process of applying for TV reporter jobs, and some of my news girlfriends who are news reporters have suggested a wig as a way to go to just help me look more feminine in that capacity. So I am growing my hair long. Once it gets there, I won't need it anymore, but I feel like I might need I might need it for the time being, but I wish I did.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, that's just my opinion on them is
yeah.
They're heavy. They're itchy. They make me sweat. They ruin my makeup because now I'm sweating.
Oh yeah.
And it as much as I would like to have that look, it just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I have other wigs, but they're costume wigs, and they don't look good for what I'm trying to do. I had a really cool wig, actually. I'll share a picture with you, but not with the rest of the world. Actually, my very first attempt at when I first started transitioning. I bought this really nice wig off of Amazon, but then the most recent time when I went through what we call the purge, where I was just getting rid of all my girl stuff and then going to church and asking the priest to, you know, straighten me out because I was going through that guilt, because that happens a lot when you're Catholic. So I got rid of that wig at that point in time. So now I'm in where I need another wig.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks because, yeah. I want to get... Anyways, we're getting off the rails. Let's talk about other stuff.
Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah, there's a lot of layers to that, Stephanie. We're definitely going to dive into that a lot more as we go on with the with this wonderful little podcast.
So you ready to talk toys, or are we going to get into the big news that happened last week? How do you want to proceed?
Well, why don't we... You know what? Let's talk about the big news.
All right.
From last week. We can circle back around to our other topic. Let's kind of do a little current events here.
Sure.
So that way that people know that we're not just always just about our transgender stuff. So by current events, what I mean is, we're talking today about the inauguration, and we're going to talk about how it made us feel. Now, I'm going to try very, 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 very hard not to ruffle any feathers politically wise. I have my opinions. I have my political views. They are my own. I try not to share them because everybody has them. But we're talking mostly today about how the inauguration made us feel. So, Stephanie, why don't you start us off on this topic? What did this? What were the feelings in your on the inauguration?
So I, as a journalist, I want to be careful what I say here because I don't want to reveal my politics, and I'm not saying that as a, that shouldn't give anything away. I just want y'all to know that. For me, the only thing I felt was relief that the whole election cycle was finally over. I was glad that there were no more coup attempts or riot attempts, and there was no more lawsuits coming. There were no more recounts. It was just, okay, we can get on with our lives. So for me, I was very, just at that point, I was like, you know, I was just relieved that we could finally maybe start moving forward as a country and then figure out what that looks like. But for me, it was just, this was a really rough election cycle, and I think it brought out a lot of things that we really didn't need to see. I definitely think on both sides, because we saw a lot of stuff that showed us how fragile our society really is in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah, I mean there was a lot of stuff that we saw. I'm not going to get into the whole society and civilization kind of thing, because as you and I have talked kind of in private, Stephanie, I can ramble about that for 2 whole hours.
Yeah.
Very easily. I mean, I completely agree with you on that. And yeah, this was probably the longest election I can ever remember. It wasn't, we voted, here's who won, we're done.
No, I think this election started the day after 2016 when the election results were in.
Yeah, and I mean, it just seems like it was, I felt that way up until the inauguration was, geez, can this just please be over? I mean, it's a big, important process for our country and our government and our society, but it just felt like it was just dragging on just to drag it on. I couldn't recall any other election that you know, I myself could remember where that whole thing dragged on that long. It was, the more I think back to it, it was like, okay, we had the election, here's the winner, it took a little while to certify, and then there was like a brief time between the inauguration and the actual end of the determining of results, where we didn't have to worry about it. We didn't talk about it. It wasn't anything big. It was just kind of a, you know, but it dominated the news. And I think I was just to the point where, like, I'm just done. I'm burned out. I'm done.
I turned 18 in September 2000. So I had the unfortunate experience of my first time voting was the 2000 election. That was a walk in the park compared to what we just went through.
Oh yeah, definitely. It definitely was. So for me, you know what? I'm going to confess something. I'm going to confess right here that on the day of the inauguration, I had friends, family posting all over Facebook how historic, how great it is, all the little points. But for me, I didn't have any feelings that day, and I didn't, for the inauguration, because I didn't give it any attention that day. For me, I had a massive fight with the depression monster, which is another thing we're going to talk about in depth later, later episodes. So for me, I was more upset about some really smaller things in my personal life. So I really didn't have any immediate feelings until I got to sit back, feel better about life, and kind of look at it. And read things like speeches that were given, who was at the inauguration, how things were done. I mean, let's face it, 2020 was beyond strange. And it happened the way it happened. But I do think there was a major message in the inauguration that I totally can get behind, and that's unity. And moving forward, like you said, Stephanie, to figure out what unity means for us as a country. It was a crazy election. It was insane, the things that happened.
Right.
And I'm not talking political moments. I'm just talking, there was some weird ass shit that went down. And you're just kind of like, during the whole election, during 2020 as a whole, you're just kind of like sitting back going, is this really happening?
So as someone who works in the news media, we were very careful, not so much in regards to the situation regarding Kamala Harris, because it is historic. That's undeniable. But we were careful in using the word historic in describing the everything around the election. We chose unprecedented, because I think that was a better word for what we saw. How did you feel just about how just unprecedented this whole cycle felt?
I don't know that it was unprecedented. I mean
we didn't have any we never had any coups before, or we didn't have any unprecedented.
There was
an election in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened that everything that happened was just so unusual from what we're used to.
It is. It did not go the way previous things did, and it was completely unexpected. I guess that's a good word to describe everything. I'm still gonna go with batshit crazy.
Yeah, that'll work too.
I mean, that's just, let's put it all as a whole. That's what it is. And I think the biggest thing for me, and I've said this, I think I said it a little bit in either it was your podcast when I was on there, Stephanie, or I may have said it in the first episode that, you know, there's a future. I look at things like there's a hope counter. Mm-hmm. And I have two endpoints on that. And on one end, the red side, the bad side, I have Mad Max. And on the opposite side, the bright side, the wonderful side, is Star Trek. And I just, for me, the hope is, where does that little hope needle move? Are we moving towards Mad Max? Are we moving towards Star Trek? And I just think now that we can figure out what unity is, and we can figure out what moving forward means, that puts us one step closer to a future that is more like Star Trek and less like Mad Max.
Yeah.
So, you
know, one thing that was different, and it wasn't just this election cycle, it was the whole previous administration, but the last 4 years, we saw news outlets getting to say, grab her by the pussy and that shithole country. And those were said on broadcast TV. That was what I meant by unprecedented. There were things that were just happening that you just could not account for. And not to beat a dead horse, but it was like, I'm working from the, looking at it from the perspective of a journalist, I just was so flabbergasted by how many things happened these last few years. Because, you know, Trump has been campaigning since the day he, you know, was announced the winner in 2016. But anyways, I'm just glad it's over. I'm hoping that we can as a country move forward, and maybe we can just get back to arguing over, you know, do we want a future that looks like Star Wars or Star Trek, or are we going to really pretend like Mad Max is actually where we're not going?
Well, I wouldn't mind Star Trek, but please give me laser swords. I can do so many horrible things with the laser sword, and there's a lot of people listening to this that know, yeah, that's true.
Why can't we have the fifth element? That's the future I want.
That's another topic for another day, Steph. Okay, so but that was my feelings on it.
So you ready to talk about toys?
Yeah, let's talk about something that's a little different. It's a little lighter.
Can be.
Before I get out of pocket here in a little bit with our top five.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna.
Oh damn it! Did I just spoil it? Oh, I think I did.
What?
Anyway.
Uh-oh.
Oops. Anyway, so we're going to kind of quickly talk. We're not going to go real super deep into this, but we kind of are because, you know, yeah, me. So toys kind of tie into this. Stephanie and I both were kids of both the 80s and 90s. You know, that was our informative years, that's the years that influenced us. Those are the things that kind of shaped us to who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about is not just toys itself, but toys and things from our childhood that shaped our understanding of gender and how it shaped us. So, Stephanie, what you got?
Well, I like to talk about the story. There's three things that I like to talk about. I'll go quickly on the Rainbow Bright story because I have mentioned it on my podcast and I've mentioned it a couple of times. The other one is my affinity for Transformers toys, which it's tied into some things. There's some layers there. And then the third one is Masters of the Universe. So these are the three toys that I want to talk about quickly, and then I'll pass it back to you. So starting with Rainbow Bright, I can't tell you how young I was, but it was young enough that I have fuzzy memories, and that's it. I remember my sister got a Rainbow Bright. She got a whole set of them. She got all the rainbows, because each girl is a different color. It's kind of like Sailor Moon. Each one is a different color. And then, I don't remember their names. She got the little ones that are about Barbie doll size, and then she got the big one, the big giant one. And I just wanted to play with her Rainbow Bright. And it wasn't so much that my parents didn't let me. It wasn't like, you know, if they saw me playing with it, they scolded me or anything. But they made it very clear that that was a girl's toy, and they insisted on buying me very specific boy toys. Like, my dad really tried to get me into sports. He bought me a baseball lamp. It was a lamp that, or not baseball, basketball. I don't know. It was one of the balls. They all look the same to me. But anyways, it was basically in the shape of a ball, and he was like, you know, and I broke it because I just threw it. I threw it on the ground. I was like, I didn't want a fucking whatever it was, basketball, baseball, whatever. I was offended by it. That made my dad mad, by the way. Anytime he got me sports memorabilia, I usually broke it pretty early on. But that Rainbow Bright was kind of a sticking point for me because I didn't, as far as like shaping gender, it was one of those things that I saw my sister playing with it and I knew that to me, it felt right. I couldn't put words to it, but I knew I was maybe no more than 4 or 5 years old. And I just knew that I would rather sit down and play with Rainbow Bright than, and there's other toys, but that was the one that I had my heart set on. I just wanted that. Now I was fortunate enough that there were some gender neutral toys that my sisters got that my parents were more accepting of. So I did get some Care Bears, and I was able to get one Care Bear. My parents were okay with that because they already got me a teddy bear, and I cherished it. So it was like, okay, Care Bear, teddy bear, it's the same thing. And then I tried to get into Disney stuff, but then it was like I had to use Aladdin as a way to be stealth in that, so I could have Aladdin action figures, because there was a movie but also a cartoon. But that was the only way that I could get a Princess Jasmine action figure. That was the only Disney princess toy I could have, because it was like, you know, I had to kind of play the game. The other one is Transformers. Now, Transformers was a real big one for me because, well, for one, it has the word trans right in the name. I picked up on that when I was a kid, not just so much that the name was there, but to the fact that the whole premise is it's trying to be one thing, but it's actually something else. It's robots in disguise, but they don't just always turn into cars. Sometimes they turn it. There's one that turns into a camera. That was one of my favorite ones. Cameras aren't inherently, as you'll probably be able to attest, they're not inherently feminine. But there is sort of this stereotype that photographers are, you know, not necessarily masculine. But there were other ones. The whole point of the Transformers was it was one thing to the naked eye, but it was actually something else. And so I became obsessed with Transformers and also GoBots and other toys that changed from one thing to another, because it was a way for me to have something in my life that I could secretly take to school and I can hold on to and know that everyone else sees I'm playing with a race car. Everyone else sees I'm playing with the handgun because that's what I'm supposed to. But in reality, I'm playing with a doll, because to me, they were still just dolls. Optimus Prime was a doll. Now, I know a lot of people, especially action figure collectors, are out there punching their walls right now because I called Optimus Prime a doll and not an action figure. But actually, if you know the history of action figures and if you know the history of Transformers, they can trace their roots back to Barbie. So they're still dolls as far as I'm concerned. And take that, gender norms. anyways, the other one is He-Man, and He-Man was the breaking point for me. I was born in 82. He-Man was launched in 82 as a product line, so my dad insisted on watching He-Man cartoons with me and buying me He-Man toys because I was very effeminate. I let my hair grow long. I used to try on my sister's, jewelry, play jewelry. I would do things like, I was really into puzzles and not crochet, but there was this, I was really into making canvas and painting watercolors, things. Anything I saw my big sister do, I wanted to do that. And my dad didn't like that. He wanted me to do boy things, and I wasn't into boy things. So he insisted on buying me He-Man. And I insisted on throwing him in the back of the toy box and never playing with him. I think he was okay with the Transformers because he could still get me a toy that was supposed to be for boys, but I wasn't going to play with it the way a boy probably was. Here's how I used to play Transformers, and I'm getting a little off the rails, but I'll be quick and I'll pass it to you. I played dolls with my Transformers. So I had Optimus Prime. He was the Ken doll. And I had, I don't remember all the toys I had, but I had another one that stood in for the Barbie. And I had another one that I would play house with my Transformers toys. To me, they were the only dolls my parents would give me. And so that was very, very much a big part of me trying to figure out a way to, stealthily get to be who I really wanted to be. And then, fortunately, we go back to X-Men. I was able to get into, there's a lot of female action figures in the X-Men franchise, so I was able to get a lot of girl dolls through the X-Men toys. So there you go. That's my story. Take it away.
So, yeah, I mean, okay, there's a lot of layers to that, and I understand quite a bit of that. I mean, for me, this topic is kind of another difficult topic because, the base of it is kind of what kind of showed us gender and kind of shaped us. Yeah, I still am a Transformers fan. I never looked at it like a boy only thing. Growing up in the 80s, yeah, we had Transformers, we had for boys, we had Transformers, we had He-Man, we had G.I. Joe, things like that. There were girl things like Rainbow Bright. I think a lot of people, though, kind of would push Care Bears more towards that girl kind of thing, which it's not, and things like that. I can't really think any way that they really affected my views and how I understood gender and my place in it. I grew up with not a sister, but a family member who is the same age as I am. I mean, she's actually a little older. She was into the Rainbow Brights and Glow Worms and Care Bears and Barbie and all that stuff. But she did also kind of watch those other things with me and my younger brother growing up, like Transformers and G.I. Joe. We got exposed to it. It wasn't really a point where it was right or wrong. I didn't really mess around a lot with like her Rainbow Brights or her Barbies, but that's mostly because, she didn't want anybody touching her toys, So there's not that, but when I really started to think about this, shaping gender and really started into, these cartoons, He-Man to me was just so fantastical that I didn't really notice the gender thing. It wasn't to me, it was, here's this guy. It was, here's this person that can bench press a castle.
For me, here's it was just the name. That his name fly. Had the word he in it. And it was just like, I just didn't relate to that.
Yeah, I mean, I was more about, and it's something that's kind of pulled me into the comic book aspect, which X-Men is a huge thing for me. I love X-Men, but I don't focus on, like, I'm really, like, more about their special magic ability, their powers. And for He-Man, for me, that was it. I will say that I probably chose, as a child, the most gender-neutral He-Man character to be my favorite, which was Roboto, which was, as it sounds, a robot.
Okay.
You know, it didn't have any gender. It didn't have anything in its name that had any, it's a emotionless automaton. That just happened to be able to punch through things. But, you know, as I go through and I think about things like those influential things that I watched, again, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Care Bears. Care Bears is so gender neutral.
Oh, yeah.
And so inclusive that it's amazing how inclusive it really is. You know? There is so much to it that, I mean, it didn't really, even though I think back then people did try to push it more towards the girl thing because, you know, little boys don't need to be running around with teddy bears. You know, especially when you're, you know, 7 years old.
Well, Teddy Ruxpin might disagree with you there, but okay.
Teddy Ruxpin's a whole nother can of worms that we will get into one day. But even when I think back to things like Transformers and G.I. Joe, yeah, most of the characters are male, and it's definitely a boy thing, but I think there's a little bit of the early feminism in there, and the early that girls can do anything that boys can do. Look at the characters in Transformers of RC.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Here is a clearly a female Autobot, you know, and she's no damsel in distress.
No.
Now she's out there kicking ass. And in G.I. Joe, I think G.I. Joe had the best examples of this with two of their main characters that more and more I think about it, they were featured at least every episode. If not more than once in an episode, and that was Lady J and Scarlet.
Well, I was hoping you'd say the Baroness because she was a prominent figure, but she was probably on the wrong side of history.
Well, the Baroness, yeah, but she wasn't as badass as Lady J and Scarlet,
no.
But the Baroness wasn't as badass because she's a villain. When the villain is beat, they run away.
Right.
You know, help me, Cobra Commander. But that's not a male-female gender thing. That's a bad guy thing.
Right.
That's a villain thing. But Lady J and Scarlet, if you go back and you watch those animations, you know, you had guys running around with assault rifles. So was Lady J and Scarlet.
Yeah.
There was never a, well, they're a woman, they can't go on this mission. There was never any of that. And I
for
think
those that aren't keeping score, this was at a time when women weren't even allowed in the U.S. military in combat roles.
Exactly. So
and these are special ops. These are the best of the best of the best.
Yeah, these are everybody in that organization, G.I. Joe, is considered the best at what they do, and they are all badasses. They're all badasses. But here's two women, and I know as it went on, they added more and more.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just two big examples, the most prominent examples that I was never, ever made to feel like I have to be one thing or the other. I never needed, I was born a boy. I need to be a boy. That's it. Those feelings came from something completely different, but we're not going to get into that.
You ready to get into the top five, or you got some more toys you want to plug?
That's it. I didn't really have any toys that really shaped me one way or the other. Well, okay. Not in this particular way.
Okay.
Why don't we go ahead and get into our top five? I have a disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, she's got a disclaimer, doesn't she? Oh, God. So before we get into this week's top five, this little disclaimer and some clarification, these lists that Stephanie and I are going to talk about, and what we're going to do is we're going to tell you the thing, we're going to tell you whatever the number was, and then give you a little, like we did with the movie, a little bit of why it is for this. This subject, Stephanie and I are definitely have two, I'm going to say different reasonings. For me, it's solely based on one thing. For her, it's based on something else. You know, there's no way to sugarcoat this, Stephanie. Even though this conversation could make not just you, but a lot of people very kind of uncomfortable. If you have a view of me and you don't want to ruin that view, now's the time to go ahead and stop listening to this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
No, there's more after this. Don't listen to her.
About me, this top five, you're going to go, oh God, this makes so much sense. And I know there's a few of you out there, William, who are listening.
Uh-oh.
That are going to go, please let her be somewhat appropriate. No, absolutely not. Anyway, Miss Stephanie.
When I share my list, you'll understand why I'm not going to be as, setting myself up for a lawsuit as Robin is.
So sue me. I don't give a shit anymore.
All right.
So, let's talk about it. Stephanie, what is this week's top five?
We're talking about celebrity crushes. Specifically, who we think is hot. Or whatever else you want to, however you want to interpret it. I have to put a disclaimer of my own out here. I actually made two lists, and you'll understand why, but I will pair them together. And also, the actual number one that would have been on this list is not on the list because we agreed no dead people. And so since she's no longer among the living, I had to cross her off. But I think I found an adequate replacement.
Okay. All right. So, and as you guys just heard, Stephanie used the word hot. That has three letters in it.
Uh-huh.
And while I agree with that kind of sentiment, my subject or my reasoning for choosing people also has three letters.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to let you use your imagination until we start reading this list. God, I'm horrible. So, Stephanie, number five.
All right. Going in reverse order, as that is the way we do. I wrote down a list of female crushes, but I also did my guy crushes too, just for the fuck of it. So, my guy crush at number five is, I don't know the actor's name off the top of my head, but he played Sean Hunter on Boy Meets World. And that was the number one reason I watched Boy Meets World. I didn't understand what was going on as a kid. I just knew I had to watch Sean Hunter, you know, be a kid. But my number five on the girl list, and this is the one that I actually, my heart beats for, and it is Kirsten Dunst. I am one of those suckers for Kirsten Dunst. I'll watch any movie she's in. It goes all the way back to Jumanji, but probably even earlier than that. Because I think I can't say I've seen every movie she's in, but I can say I have a list of every movie she's in, and I've made a concerted effort to watch as many as time will allow and as my mood dictates. Kirsten Dunst is one of those that it's like, we're almost the same age, her and I. So we went through a lot of, you know, we grew up together. You know, so my whole life was spent watching her on TV. And for that reason alone, she just has, I'm not going to say is quote unquote comfort food, but anytime I see her in a movie, I know, okay, I can watch that movie because it's, you know, it's safe and comfortable. Even if it's a movie that sucks. No offense to her.
Okay, all right. I mean, yeah. Okay, I get that. Yeah, see? Time for some stark contrasts here. So, if you know me, Stephanie just kind of hit on it. She has two lists. Here's a little something about myself. A lot of people probably don't know this, but a small core group do. I'm bisexual. Always have been since I can remember. So I don't have two lists. I have one. So it's all kind of combined, and you'll see. So my number five, based on my criteria,
okay,
comfort, is actually a tie.
Uh-oh.
And I'm gonna also say this. AJ helped me with this list.
Okay.
And AJ and I had a lot of these where she would say, oh, how about this person? And a lot of people would go, oh, yes. Me, I was like, if I'm bored. Case in point, I'm just going to throw this out here.
Oh, shit, Chris I broke the rule already. Never mind, sorry.
Chris Hemsworth. If I was bored. Okay? Just saying.
Ah.
Anyway, my number five tie is, this is going to sound weird, tie between Paul Rudd and Brandon Routh. And I know somebody's going, the hell is wrong with you, girl? I feel like, because of the three letters, that would be quite enjoyable. Plus, I don't think they're going to be real quick to get up, go, and they'd stay and snuggle with you afterwards. I think they would be good. And I will say this, I think when we get down to it, one of those individuals, Mr. Ralph, could lead to some really fun things with my number four. But we're getting into that in just a few minutes.
Okay.
Can you see where this list is going for me, Stephanie?
Sure.
For those of you who don't know, she's already horribly uncomfortable.
Yeah, we'll go
so
with
what's
that.
What's your number four?
On the guy list, it's Tobey Maguire because of Spider-Man, but really because of Pleasantville. That movie just, I don't know, there's just 150 million reasons why I loved him in Pleasantville. On the girl list, it's Christina Ricci, and it basically boils down to a couple of movies. The first one is Casper because, and again, this is another one like Kirsten Dunst, we're almost the same age. So most of the girls on my list are girls who are my age, so they were teenagers when I was a teenager. Keep that in mind when I get to my number one, because I don't want people to think I'm a pervert. Okay.
Like me.
But Christina Ricci, Casper was one of those movies that I watched it enough times. This is one of a handful of movies. I watched it so many times I wore the tape out. And it was primarily motivated by my crush on her. And it wasn't just looks, of course. I mean, it was not so much like sexual attraction, if you will, but it was more just like she had a, I don't want to say beauty about her, but just something about her just made me want to watch her be her. So that was like the early one. Now the other one, and now if you really want to go there, we're going to go there. The other one was Black Snake Moan. And when I saw her in that, I was like, damn, she definitely can be clickbait. Or is that the right word? I don't know. Dick bait? I don't know.
We'll go with that. I mean, because I promised at the beginning of the show I would still try to be safe for work. So, I mean, yeah, we'll go with that one, Stephanie.
Sure. But that was the first time I saw her, and I've seen almost every movie she's in as well, including Mermaids, which we're not going to talk about. But I will say that. Oh, and I also liked her. I really. This one is kind of getting into my whole, you know, trans side, I guess you will. I liked her in the one where she had the pig nose. Penelope? I really like that one too. So yeah, that's my number four, if you will.
Okay. So my number four is probably not going to be as well known outside of us, nerd community.
Okay.
But just something about this one. And it's Courtney Ford. Now, the reason that ties into my number five, Miss Ford is from the series, the current television series, DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
Where she plays the character Nora Dark. And just, oh my God, her eyes. And just the way she kind of carries herself. Now, why did I say that tied into number five? Well, she's kind of married to Brendan Routh. So fill in the blank, if you know what I mean.
God, you got some role playing in your brain?
Oh, God. but yeah, I mean, there's just something when I watch her, I'll watch those episodes with Brandon and Courtney. I think they're just my favorite Legends of Tomorrow episodes, but a lot of them are just kind of dumb as hell. But I think for me, that's just, oh, look, they're on screen. Oh. But that's my number four. What's your number three, sweetie?
Okay. You're gonna judge me.
Of course.
On the guy list, and all of the above I've already said about the girls, this is the only guy where that actually is what translates. And it was Macaulay Culkin. I watched My Girl 1,000 times, and I cried 1,000 times because of that. I also watched a lot of Home Alone, but then he kind of went through a weird kind of slump. But when I saw him make an appearance on Angry Video Game Nerd, I was so excited. I was just like, oh my God, he's still alive.
We all said that about him. Oh my God, he's still alive.
But my girl is actually, this one's the older, this is probably the only older woman on my list. When I say older, she's like, maybe 5-10 years older than me. Not nothing like the rest of these girls who were up or down a year or two at most. But it's Reese Witherspoon. And I was going to put... I'm just going to kind of put this out there to kind of give you an idea of who I am. I was actually going to put Brittany Murphy on this spot. But when we agreed no dead people, I had to cross her off. So I put Reese Witherspoon there instead. Because she fills a very similar capacity in my mind. But... with the dead girl, it was just like, you know, she was like really weird and quirky, and I was just like, heck yeah, I wanted to be her. With Reese Witherspoon, it's more like, you know, she's very diverse as an actress, but she doesn't always get like a lot of respect. But she does some movies that, I don't know if you will say, I don't like the term guilty pleasure, but she makes most of the movies that I put on my guilty pleasure list, she's in them.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm definitely judging you. I'm just not going to say it out loud. No, I'm kidding. I'm not judging you, sweetheart. We can't help that. You know, we can't help who we're attracted to and get crushes and stuff on. It's just the way it is. Yeah, okay. I mean, Reese Witherspoon. I mean, honestly, I think she'd be kind of boring, but whatever.
Probably, but still.
Well, boring by my standards. And some of the people listening on this podcast are going to go, oh, good Lord.
If you didn't catch up on that, Reese Witherspoon was also in Pleasantville, by the way.
Yes, she was.
Goes back to that movie a lot for me.
Yeah. So my number three was something that I kind of... it's a newly discovered one for me.
Uh-oh.
And it didn't really click till I started watching TV and seeing commercials for a TV show that he's now featured in. But then I start thinking about him like, All right. I get it. I get this one. Yeah. And that's Sean Bean, British actor. GoldenEye, Lord of the Rings. Now he's in Snowpiercer. Just something about the way he carries himself, the way that he talks, the way that he acts. I'm sure, you know, that all of his characters are a little bit like him, because that's what a good actor does. But I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'd go with that. I'd go with that for sure. So that's my number three. So what you got for number two?
Okay, so on the guy side, this is where we're going to get a little off the rails a little bit. I put down Joseph Gordon-Levitt because he is the only guy that if I was going to get into an X-rated relationship with, it would probably be him. Number two on the girl side is Melissa Joan Hart, and this goes all the way back to Clarissa Explains It All. It's a TV show she starred in on Nickelodeon, and then she made her way into Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and then she was in one of my favorite movies of all time, briefly, kind of, sort of. It's called Can't Hardly Wait. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. She went through a weird, awkward phase because she is an evangelical Christian and she's very vocal about it. But she went through an awkward phase and then she started doing good movies and shows again. But I really loved her brief comeback when she did Melissa and Joey. But Melissa Joan Hart is the one that I watched the most because, not just because I thought she was pretty, but also because I liked the roles she played. Every character she portrayed was a character I either wanted to be or wanted to be friends with or wanted to know. Or let's just be real, I probably wanted to screw.
Okay, you know what? I can't say I disagree on the guy part there. I think I'd go that route. I really do, and I think it would probably be, well, I mean, it definitely would, because they're not on the top five list. It would definitely be one of those, because I'm bored. But I think it would be a lot less of I'm bored on that particular one. Melissa Joan Hart, I love her. Loved her work. Funny though, you know, you mentioned Clarissa Explains It All. There are not many people who remember that show.
And they're every single one of them an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I've mentioned it to people in passing and they're like, the hell was that? So, all right. Well, my number two, this is kind of interesting on my number two. This was originally my number one, but then I started really thinking about it, and I switched my number two and my number one. This is my number two is on this list, and it's kind of interesting because AJ and I 100% totally agree on this one. Okay. Totally agree. If the circumstances were right, we're on it. And to no one's surprise that knows me, these two happen to be professional wrestlers.
Okay.
My number two. You ready for this one, Stephanie?
If you don't say Nikki Cross, I'm going to punch the wall.
Oh, it's not Nikki.
Ah! Okay.
it's not Nikki. My number two, the sexy Scotsman, Drew McIntyre.
Okay.
Yes, please.
I can say yes to that. I'm not
all day long. Yes. Just, that's all I gotta say.
I have a Nikki Cross action figure, by the way, for y'all who are just like, is she just pulling things out of her ass? Let's not go there.
Let's not go there. it's funny you say that. It's not about what's pulled out.
Okay, I hope you got your headphones on.
Good! Sorry, everybody. I got out of pocket. All right, Stephanie, before I get into too much trouble, let's That's, you hit me with your number one.
Okay. On the guy's side, it's Robin Lord Taylor. And this one is, it's similar to the previous one. Because I do think he's attractive. He's I'm going to use the word sexy and very cute, which I don't say a lot about guys. But this is one that it's because of Gotham. When I watched, first of all, I love Batman. Batman's one of my favorite superheroes. And I love reading his comic books. But even before it was cool to say this, Penguin was my favorite of the Batman's rogue gallery. Because I think he's far more interesting than that fucking clown everybody idol worships. I love the Penguin. And so this was the first time, in my personal opinion, there was an actor on screen who not only portrayed the Penguin in a respectable manner, but actually made that character a major player in a show rather than just a throwaway character that you just, oh yeah, don't forget, we got to do an episode with the Penguin. What does he do? Well, he quacks and he carries umbrellas, and that's all we ever do with him, because that's all people think of him. He was the king of Gotham, and not just literally, but I mean, like, in the show, they called him the king of Gotham. He owned that show. And so there's that. My number one, I was going to, just out of spite, I was going to put Nikki Cross, because I was like, you know, fuck it. But no, it's actually Thora Birch. And this is the one, it is actually more of an infatuation. I'm, like, legitimately in love with Thora Birch. If I ever met her in person, I would melt. It's not sexual at all, but I just think she is, like, just the cutest girl ever. And just, I mean, like, just, I love the movies that she's in, which is why I wanted to say we're the same age, her and I, and I grew up with these people, because if you're going to sit in there like, that's the little girl from Hocus Pocus, you pervert. Yes, but she's also been in, like, movies as an adult. But I mainly fell in love with her when she was in Ghost World, which is a movie, if you haven't seen it, when you're done with this podcast, go watch Ghost World. I don't care if you gotta steal it, pirate it, go to the library, what you gotta do, but watch fucking Ghost World and then come back to me. And then the other one that she was real big in was The Hole, which is, I'm gonna say everything the same thing. The Hole is just an absolutely fantastic underrated movie. And no, not Holes with Shia LaBeouf, but I'm actually talking a movie called The Hole, which if you need motivation to watch it, Keira Knightley flashes the camera, so there's your motivation to watch it.
That's always good. Oh my god, I am so out of pocket now.
Hey, I brought this on. I knew we were going to go.
Yes,
there.
This is your fault.
Those who are listening at home, she did not want to do this topic. And I was just like,
I
no.
Not.
I vetoed the one she wanted to do because I was like, no, I can talk about this thing. That other thing I can't really talk about unless you want to dedicate an entire episode to it.
Let me talk about your little comment there about the Penguin and quacking and has umbrellas. Are you taking shots at my 1966 Batman?
No, that's where I fell in love with the character. But I'm
good,
saying, like, that's all people think of him. No, I love that version of the Batman, or the Penguin.
Yeah.
It's just, because that was what made me into the character. It's just, that's all people know of him. They don't, you know, that's all they ever do with him. He just walks around with, you know, he uses his umbrellas as weird weapons. And it's like, okay, you can do more. He is never mind. He's just my favorite character. He's my favorite villain.
Yeah, I mean, that's a topic for another day. But, yeah, don't. Take shot. I mean, I'll take shots all day long at you in episode one and Star Trek.
It was
four.
Not a shot. Legitimately, I love the Penguin, and it started with the original Batman TV series,
okay.
Adam West, Burt Ward.
Because if you're taking shots at my Batman,
and that was Burgess Meredith. Who's gonna knock that Penguin?
I know, right? Oh my god! All right, now I'm getting off track.
I know my Penguins, damn it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's good. Wow, there's a sound bite. Alright, number one for me with a bullet. Again, I said this was a a pro wrestler. Probably one not too many know. And this person was number two, but then I started thinking about it. And I said something to AJ when I changed my list. And I'll tell you what I said to her in a minute after I reveal it. And she was kind of like, oh, okay, I guess, knowing you the way I do, okay. And that is Rhea Ripley. She's Australian. She is WWE. She's got this just heavy metal persona to her. But that part aside, I just, everything about her, it's just like, yes, please. I'm all on board with that one. And now what I said to AJ when she said, so why did you switch Drew and Rhea? Not safe for work moment, everybody.
If you say it's because she beat up Nikki Cross, I'm gone, but we're done.
She might have at one point. Anyway, I told AJ, with Drew McIntyre, I'd let him mess me up. But Rhea Ripley, I would so let her wreck me.
Okay.
And if that's not out of pocket, I don't know what is. So, Stephanie, because we don't have cameras and we can't see each other, how bright red are you after that one?
Yeah.
There's a lot to process there, isn't there, girl?
I'm still sitting here like, you picked the bully. Nikki's bully. If y'all were, okay, I want to throw this out there. If the only reason why I couldn't put Nikki Cross on this list is because she would be the list. She would take up every spot. I am like 110,000% going to fall in love with her every time I wake up and open my eyes.
Well, and we will get into another discussion about that, because anybody listening knows that's a big thing for me anyway. And by that I mean wrestling as a whole. And we'll get into that and a little bit of why it's important to me and how it affected me. But that's another show that we'll get into and talk a little bit about that. So I think, with that being the end of the top five, that means
we're at the end of the show. Yep.
We're about out of time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say thank you for everybody who has listened to us, that came back for a second episode. Hopefully you come back for a third episode.
And before you turn this off, don't forget, we're going to tell you what you can expect next week.
That's right. So
yes.
What is something we're going to discuss next week, though, Stephanie?
Well, we're going to talk about the relationship between gender and sexuality. And guys, girls, pan, trans peoples out there, whatever you identify as, wear your headphones for this episode.
But I don't think we're going to be bad to be, just to be bad.
No, but
I don't think it's going to be non-safe for work just for the
We're not going to get into the graphic imagery.
No.
But we're going to get into the nitty-gritty, I believe.
We will get into that, because there is a lot that ties into that. It's going to be a pretty good show. We'll have another top five as to what that is. I don't know. I promise it won't be as out of pocket as this one was. Stephanie, remember, that was your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if we get bad comments about it, it is totally your fault.
She totally tried to talk me out of it, and I was like, no, because I just wanted to tell everybody how, like, fan-fucking-tastic Nikki Cross is, and this is the only way I'm going to get to do so.
You know what? And all I wanted to do was try to behave for two episodes. Then we could have had a third one and let Robin be Robin and just the Robin everybody knows and okay, I was gonna say knows and loves, but I got a lot of people who don't, so or at least they could do without that part of me. But yes, so thank you everybody for joining us. I hope you guys all enjoyed this one. as much as we enjoyed doing it.
Hello?
Please follow us on Facebook at The Transpose Pod. Is that what it is?
Yes.
I forget our social media.
Yes, Transpose Pod. That's our Facebook.
It's our Facebook page. You can find me on Facebook with my photography at Photo Girl Robin Allura, and that's photo with an F. And on Instagram, Allura Photo, again, with an F. Stephanie?
You can always find me hiding out in the spider's lair where chaos resides. And to find the spider's lair, just type it into Google and you shouldn't have a hard time finding it.
Yeah, and if you're listening to us on Spotify, please follow us on there. If you're listening to us on Google, please follow us on there. As always, please feel free, leave comments, give us suggestions, tell us what you think. We need that. I'm not that deep. I need stuff to talk about.
All right, well, we'll see y'all next week.
All right, yeah, everybody have a great week, and we will see you next time.